Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And if you're looking at our live streaming video on Phil TV in high definition, behind me is the beautiful El Pacifico. At night, all is quiet on the street. This hour is our news and information hour. We have Bud Dickman.
Hello.
And Robert Leonard. Bob, nobody calls you Bob, though, huh?
You call me Bob sometimes.
Sometimes, all right. Is with us. And don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com for all of the podcasts, all of our archived video and audio, and everything else in between, philhendryshow.com for your backstage pass. You'll notice there, by the way, on the homepage of our website, if you, in fact, I guess I could show you on Phil TV. There's a picture there. Tonight in Vancouver, and now I guess it's technically last night in Vancouver, British Columbia, the young people of Vancouver, B.C., the descendants of the Tory North Americans who fled north rather than support the small, burgeoning nation known as America. I'm being dramatic. It's no big thing. Anyway,
yeah, why don't you just get to the point?
I'm getting to the point, okay? Anyway, so up there, they lost another Stanley Cup is basically what I'm trying to say. Vancouver dropped the last game 4-0 to the Boston Bruins at home there at the Rogers Center. And what do they do in Vancouver when they lose a Stanley Cup? They've lost three. They set fire to the city.
All right. Yeah, y'all, you know, thought that was something they just did in Detroit, man. The white folks do it, too.
Oh, well, here we go with the white folks do it, too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how do you know there's not no black people in there? I don't see a black man. They ain't got a black male than thousands of miles.
Oh, get out of here, man. Canada's got black folks. They just don't have that many. Canada has black people. I met both of them. Now then.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
They don't have anywhere near as many minority. Well, they have a lot of Native American people in Canada. They have a lot of Native American people in Canada.
Well, Native American people, they have a civil rights?
I don't know that they've ever marched for their civil rights. They're too busy trying to pry themselves out of the trunks of cop cars. Now then.
Boy, you're a liar. And I remember that cop call, too.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, Canada. We're not on the air in Canada, so. One time I was on the air in Canada, and I said that, and a Toronto cop called. He was very put out. I'm very sorry. I don't mean any offense. I'd read it, although I had read it in an Amnesty International report, so don't go bugging on me.
What do you read?
I read in an Amnesty. See, I read the Amnesty International bull crap. They come out with a report. Whoa, Amnesty International, here we go again. What other war crimes has America committed? I guess I better get up on things here. Find out what we need to do. Well, what I do is I look at some other countries. I look at countries that are supposedly squeaky clean. And one year I looked up Canada. And the problem they have in Canada is the treatment of Native American, or Native, I should say, Native people, as they call them in Canada, by the police. And there were several incidences cited of police abuse, police violence under the color of authority against Native people. So, you know, this is America, we have problems, and we have them by the baker's dozen, if you will, because of our population. But consider this, folks, and consider this well. The problems that we have had to push ourselves through in this country, the problems that we've had to deal with head on and take on head on and grapple with over the many, many decades, other countries are just now getting around to it. Other countries have no idea what they would do were they in our shoes with the history that they have of culture as opposed to government.
Yeah, you were talking about that one time. I don't understand that.
It's very simply this. Every other country in the world, okay?
Yeah.
Every other country in the world besides ours and Canada, New World nations, but really not so much North America, they come from thousands and thousands of years, man. So if you got France, what do you think the French mind is more accustomed to? The French culture and the French language and the French reality on French soil, or their form of government? Which is older, culture or government? Culture is. Tribal instinct is much, much older. That's why we've had problems. That's why we, the great white father, have had problems in places like Africa, where we can't seem to impose our thing on them because they've got something that's even deeper than that. They have tribal relationship, clan relationship, hunting, gathering, this, that, this, that. Same thing in Russia. Same thing in China. Why do you think they have to... Russia had to go through its whole feudal serfdom period, and then they had to go through their whole commie thing, because the folks over there, man, their roots go much deeper than any single government. But not in America. In America is the first country in the history of the world. The first country in the history of the world that has more allegiance to law than it has to culture. And that's really significant, and that's why I love this country, because at the end of the day, there is law, that every man is equal under that law. And there isn't any language, there isn't any dance, there's no headdress, there's no skin color, there's no this, that, something else.
What do you mean headdress? You mean like a guy wearing feather? A feather on his head?
What do you mean a feather on his head?
Yeah, headdress.
Yeah, okay, a headdress. So anyway, why did I bring all this bullcrap up? I forget. Jason, tweet me or send me a message and tell me why I brought that up so I can continue with what I'm talking about, or I can move on to why we have a measles epidemic. And we do, by the way, folks. We have a measles epidemic in this country again, and do you want to know why? Oh, hockey in Vancouver, that's right. So up in Vancouver, where they are still hunting and gathering. No, I don't know. They just had a riot in Vancouver. I'm sure everything's going to be a beautiful thing up there. There's a whole. It's a very beautiful city, Vancouver. And there are, a lot of hockey fans. And put that together, beauty and hockey, and what do you get?
A riot.
A riot. I don't know. All right. Measles are back as parents refuse vaccines. Thanks a lot, Mom and Dad. Thank you. No. Don't blame us. Yes, I am exactly who I'm blaming. You. Childhood disease is on the rise. One reason is that parents aren't vaccinating their children. While overall vaccination rates are high, 40% of parents say they have intentionally skipped or delayed a shot for their kids. These unvaccinated children are often affected by unvaccinated travelers who bring the disease home with them. These parents, small but growing in number, skip vaccines because they're idiots. They skip vaccines out of concern about serious adverse effects caused by vaccines. These parents take advantage of exemptions to laws requiring school-age kids to get certain shots. Their fear of vaccines is often based on a 1998 paper published in Lancet correlating MMR, the immunization drug measles, mumps, and rubella with autism, which is a complete and utter load of crap. A complete and utter load of crap, this British paper. The paper surveying 12 children has since been discredited by doctors around the globe, and Lancet has retracted the paper. But do you think the brain surgeons we got for parents in this country have read that? No! While some parents skip the shots, others simply delay them. Pediatrician Robert Sears has written a hugely popular book, Vaccine Book, outlining an alternative vaccine schedule. He told USA Today, I'm not a proponent of mandatory vaccination. Overall, in my mind, vaccines should be a parent's choice. Given that these diseases don't pose a large threat to children around us, I think parents have that right. Is that right, Doc? Well, guess what now? We could very well be in for an epidemic. I have adult friends who've had, what the hell do you call chicken pox in adults?
Turkey pox?
What do you mean, turkey pot?
I don't know.
Shingles. That's it, Jason. Thank you. I've had adult friends in their 30s with shingles all of a sudden. I've had three or four friends this year come down with shingles. Now, I had measles as a kid. I had the bad measles. I had I had a fever. I was a sick kid when I was about 10, I think. For 2 weeks, I was laid up. My sister, she had it. She was even worse off than me. She had a fever of 103. And we were sick. You want to see a sick kid? Watch him come down with measles. It's not fatal. Not usually. I mean, in a modern society like ours with doctors and with, it's not, no. But it's just a terribly, terribly tough illness for a kid to endure. And these stupid, I'm telling you right now, these parents that think they're doing good things, they do it out of ego. They do it out of, I don't know why they do it, but they're not doing it with any sense of anything other than their child is so important that even if they risk the health of other kids, they don't give a damn. They're all baby boomers, or they're the immediate aftermath of boomers like Gen Xers. They all think they're so educated and they're so up on things and they're so cutting edge. And these bastards have brought back whooping cough. That's now back. Measles is coming back. Mumps will probably be back. And mumps. I ain't had mumps. And if I get mumps because of one of your kids getting mumps.
Why don't you go get the shot?
Why don't you go get the shot? I guess I ought to get the shot, huh?
Yeah, probably ought to.
I can't get the shot, man. Can I get immunized against mumps now?
I don't know. Why not?
I don't know. But, I mean, I never had a mump shot because we didn't have a mump shot when I was a kid. You had to get all these diseases. That's how you got immune. So I've had chicken pox. I've had measles. I've had German measles, which was like a two-day or three-day measles. Not a bad one. But I never had mumps. And watch me come down with mumps.
What happens to you getting mumps?
Your face gets all stretched out, man. You look like you got a watermelon on your face.
Yeah, you're probably comfortable with having a water...
Shut up. Now, what do you say that to him for?
I'll kick his ass.
Why do you say that to him?
I don't know, I just thought it was funny.
All right, so... Anyway, where are we with this story? This kind of thing just drives me out of my mind, man. I'm telling you. Do we need to break? Because I don't know if we took our first break or not. I think we do need to break, yeah. I tell you what, we'll come back with some of this and other falderall here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Indicted John Edwards smiles in his police mugshot, which is kind of an old hat thing there, John. You know, it was done especially by some cats. The first guy to do it, I think, was that Tom DeLay. Didn't he smile? But since then, it's been the anti-Semite Mel Gibson and this scumbag John Edwards, and it ain't so funny. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL here on the... World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the show here. I noticed that we're running. Are we overmodulating, man? Because we're running really hot tonight.
No, everything's good.
I keep it does because I'm telling you, man, I'm looking at these. And Bud, I told you to keep an eye on our audio.
Everything seems pretty good to me.
Well, then why am I looking at all this red over here? Red means overmodulation. All right, anyway.
Well, just move on, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll move on when I move on. Don't worry about it. So anyway, speaking of disease, since we're having such a ball talking about it, God. By the way, the thing here says that if you were born after 1957, you should have some kind of a mumps vaccine. Well, I was born in 1952, but I ain't never had the mumps. So what's that mean?
Probably I'd go get the mumps.
Yeah, you gotta get the mumps. They're gonna give you a shot.
Well, I ain't going to go out and get the mumps. And I'll tell you something else. If I'm walking through a store, and because some woman out there, somebody who was reading Dr. Jackass's book on the best thing to do to infect the entire human race with mumps, just make sure that your little kidlet doesn't have the shot, because God knows your kid may be autistic if you do. You know... If I walk through a supermarket and I see some little kid walking up to me who's all... Hi, mister, do you want to buy a dip thing? And he's got the face like that?
Yeah, like the watermelon.
Yeah, like he swallowed a watermelon. I'm going to scream and run, just like a girl, and I won't care.
Are you serious?
I don't care. I'm going to scream, I'm going to run, and I'll be pointing. I will point, and I'll say, that woman's kid! Look what she's done! And I will embarrass her, and I will, and she'll stand there in her sweats and in her, you know, leg warmers, and she'll be, well, I would never, my children are this and that. And I'll say, ah, and I will turn the tables on you.
Gotta do that, ma'am.
I will turn the tables. And that woman will go from being Miss, I'm up on all the latest holistic cures, and my children are, you know, and they defecate into a tin cup and not a toilet because I heard the toilets give you a big ass eventually, and, you know, whatever. These people are dangerous. Dangerous. They got just enough, there used to be an old saying, you know, you got just enough brains to get somebody hurt. Well, here you go. Some people, there's nobody too stupid to get it, but there's a lot of people too smart. You heard that saying, right? Well, there you go. That's a classic example right there. People like that. Oh, my God, I don't want my child to have autism. So you're going to skip the vaccine, and quite possibly your child could get infected because there are people traveling from other countries. And I got a news flash for you. Because Maria got back from India, I told you. They got polio over there. You ever heard of that?
Yeah, it put people in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it'll put you in a wheelchair. It'll put you in an iron lung, friend. And they still got, and polio, even though it's been wiped out in just about every country in the world, the good people at Rotary and the Red Cross and other organizations are trying to stamp this disease out. But because of some stupid-ass Muslims, these imams who were saying that the polio vaccine was the West's way of killing Muslims, I mean, it was despicable. They haven't been able to stamp out polio in some very rural parts of India and in some parts of Pakistan. Now, that may not be such a big thing, but I got big news for you. If anybody carrying that virus hits these good old United States and is around some kid whose parents decided not to get the vaccine because they're afraid Junior is going to get autism, and they read that Dr. So-and-so said such and such, and the next thing you know, your kid's on his back in an iron lung. You ever seen an iron lung? You slide a kid. It looks like one of those machines that you get a...
I would like you get a CAT scan.
It sort of, but I mean, it covers you from the neck all the way down to your feet. You're laying in this thing, I don't know, 23 out of 24 hours? I don't know what they do now. Maybe they have more improved things. This is what you're screwing around with. If I was in Congress, I'd have them arrested. I swear to God.
You can't. They have every right in the world not to do it.
They don't have any right in the world to infect everybody else with a possibly cataclysmic disease. They have no right. I'd back up a law that says they go to prison, and eventually they have to go out on a chain gang someplace.
Oh, come on, man. You think it's that bad?
I'm joking about the chain gang, but I think it'd be funny. See a whole bunch of women and, you know...
Yeah, they're all at their leg warmer and everything, and they're working on a road like in Cool Hand Luke.
They ain't gonna wear leg warmers, man, on a road gang.
Yeah, I'm telling you, lady, my Lucille.
Yeah, it'll be just like Cool Hand Luke, all these soccer moms. Oh, baby. Put them out on a chain gang, man. See how they like that. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, the other story that we had, there's a little child, and this is good news, actually. Very good news. It's also kind of coincides with something that we discovered on the show about rabies. I mean, let's see, we're going from measles to... What the hell are we doing here?
I think it's very interesting.
You're an idiot.
What are you guys laughing at?
I think it's very interesting.
I'm trying to support the show.
What was that song that guy sang in Cool Hand Luke?
Let it be, Lord, let it be.
Bud, that's beautiful.
Man, that's good.
Through the years, I will love you with my tears. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let me pee, Lord, let me...
Shut up, punk. Yeah, that was that song from Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where you're going. You're going to go down to that chain gang there, Mom, if you don't get your kid that polio vaccine. Otherwise, it's going to be Strother Martin going, I can be a nice guy or I can switch. Now, there's a little child that got bit by a feral cat. Feral cats are wild cats. And guess what? The kid didn't get rabies, even though the cat was infected with rabies. We're going to tell you that story when we come back, and we won't spend a lot of time on it, so don't worry about that. We also have a story here on a Facebook post that offers $1,000 to kill a Philadelphia woman's baby father. This is a Facebook post. Montel Williams comes to Sacramento to open a marijuana dispensary. Yeah, uh-huh.
He's going to make a bunch of money on that.
No kidding. God, your name's Montel Williams, and oh yeah, I really think that marijuana can help a lot of people. Yes, it can help a lot of people, but let's talk about making yourself a couple of dollars. And the whole state of California, this big debate going on about whether we should have dispensaries here or there or some other place, and Montel Williams comes in here and gets well. Also, an Idaho couple's dream home was infested with snakes. Wait till you hear this story. A home infested with snakes. The homeowner had to kill 42 snakes in one day.
No.
Yeah. So all of that stuff's coming up here in the final half hour of our show. Don't forget PhilHenryShow.com is our beautiful website. Get on over there and get yourself a backstage pass and take advantage of the wonderful things that we have to offer. Maybe we'll have Bud.
Let it be, Lord. Let it be. Yay!
Beautiful. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And our number 877-876-PHIL. Bud, you wanted to sing. I want to do the story here, though, first. I can't keep messing around here. And then you can sing your Plastic Jesus. God.
But it's important. It's not a counter. It kind of comes from the Cool Hand Luke.
I understand it comes from Cool Hand. We were talking about getting your kids vaccinated. How the hell we ever got on chain gangs?
You brought it up, man. You said you want to put all them women on chain gang.
Well, you're right. I did. So, all right, so we'll do that. Here's the story, though. An 8-year-old girl. What time is it, man? I've been trying to get to this story for a half hour. An 8-year-old girl who contracted rabies, likely from a feral cat, that is a wild cat, is a rare survivor of the infection without having received the life-saving medicine. Get a load of that. Precious Reynolds is the name of this baby of Willow Creek, California, was treated by pediatricians at the University of California Davis's Children's Hospital in coordination with federal and California health officials. She's the third person in the United States known to have recovered from the virus without having antiviral inoculations immediately after becoming infected. Globally, there are only 10 known survivors who did not get the vaccine, according to Dr. Greg Poland, a professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. Rabies often causes death within a week after symptoms first appear.
What are symptoms? Like you get foaming at the mouth?
Yeah, start foaming at the mouth and everything. Run around like you, the rage virus.
What do you mean the rage virus?
That's what it looked like.
It does?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is rabies, man? What happens to you?
You start foaming at the mouth and you run around like a rage virus.
The rage, get the hell out of here, man. I think, here, we've got the symptoms. Here's the symptoms of rabies. Sounds like any day on this show, confusion, hallucinations, and aggressiveness. There you go.
Yep.
So, I think we have rabies, man.
No, man, read more.
Okay. Confusion, hallucinations, aggressiveness, bizarre or abnormal thoughts, muscle spasms, abnormal postures. This does sound like the rage virus. Seizures, that would be convulsions, weakness or paralysis when a person cannot move some part of the body. Why am I laughing?
Because it sounds like somebody we know.
Are you kidding me, man? You sound more like you than me.
Come on, hold on. Anyway, abnormal postures, seizures, convulsions, weakness or paralysis when a person cannot move some part of the body, extreme sensitivity to bright lights, sounds, or touch, increased production of saliva or tears, difficulty speaking. Yep, it's Bud Dickman.
You got it.
Shut up!
All right, I'm kidding around. In the advanced stage of the infection, as it spreads to other parts of the nervous system, these symptoms may develop. That was just the beginning. Now here's the advanced stages. Double vision, problems moving facial muscles, abnormal movements of the diaphragm and muscles that control breathing, difficulty swallowing, and increased production of saliva. Sounds like Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
That's not funny anymore. You worked that material.
Oh, did I work that material?
Wow.
Did I work that material?
Yeah, you already worked that line.
Oh, I worked that line, did I? Well, Freddie Cordova here, the producer, huh?
Who?
I worked the line, huh?
Yeah, you're beating the hell out of that material. Move on.
Oh, well, yes, sir. Get out, do it. Well, work it the way I want to work it.
So I've heard.
Why, you lousy little...
Come on, man. Hold on, man.
Talk to me like that. So I've heard. Difficulty swallowing and increased production of saliva causing the foaming at the mouth usually associated with a rabies infection. Wow. The hospital says Northern California girl becomes a very rare survivor of rabies without the vaccine. She is the third person in the U.S. Now, let's see. Tests in early May revealed she had the disease after Precious's grandmother took her to the doctor because of flu-like symptoms that grew so serious. Her grandmother said they began to resemble polio. When the disease spread to her brain, she became temporarily paralyzed, was unable to swallow, hallucinated, had trouble walking, and had the rage virus, ran and tore her grandmother's throat out. Now,
really, Matt?
No, it's not. When are you guys going to get used to my sense of humor?
That ain't funny.
Ooh. I know. I'm working the material, huh? Nurses at the hospital thought her chances were slim when she arrived at the pediatric intensive care unit. None of us thought she would leave the PICU. The PICU?
Nah, it's something about intensive care.
Oh, okay. Anyway, she is a survivor. God bless her. The first such survivor, Gianna Geis of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, contracted the infection when she was bitten by a bat in 2004 when she was 14. Geis graduated from college last month. The first such survivor, really? The hospital said doctors followed the protocol first established with Geis, the Milwaukee protocol. Precious was placed in a drug-induced coma to allow her brain to rest and recover from inflammation, and she received antiviral medications. She spent 2 weeks in intensive care undergoing the treatments and immediately showed that her immune system was strong. She was then moved to the hospital's general pediatric unit. Blah, 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 blah. Well, the good news is that the child survived. It's a very long story, and I recommend that you read it. The other thing is that's interesting is we found out, you know, the rabies treatment used to be a series of shots in the abdomen, right into your stomach.
Wow.
Yeah. But they don't do that anymore. They don't do that anymore. Now it's normal intramuscular, I guess is what they call it. It's more, you can take a shot in the arm. So you learn something new every day, huh? All right, Bud, have you got the song?
Yeah, this is a song that they sang in Cool Hand Luke that them women are going to sing if their kids ever get mumps. Now, sorry.
Well, it's not if their kids ever get mumps. It's just, you know, if they wind up infecting. If you mothers out there don't get your kids,
inoculated,
and they wind up making every other kid around them sick, I say we throw you on a chain gang where you will sing. Go ahead, Bud.
I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car.
Yeah.
Comes in colors pink and pleasant, glows in the dark because it's iridescent. Take it with you when you travel far.
What are you doing that for, man? Don't do that.
Wait a minute. Yes, see.
That's how you're supposed to sing it.
Yeah, that's the way some country singers sing it.
What all that?
Yes, that's the way some country sing. Go ahead, Bud.
I know what I'm doing. I'm white. You're not.
Yeah, I'm glad I ain't.
Just sing the song, okay?
All right. Get yourself a sweet Madonna dressed in rhinestone sitting on a pedestal of abalone shells. And I'm a...
Give me... What is that saying? Get yourself a sweet Madonna dressed in rhinestones. That don't even rhyme.
No, it don't rhyme. It's the stupidest white man song I ever heard.
Don't talk about that.
All right, who do we have here? I got somebody on the line. Is this Margaret? Where is she? She's in Vegas. Margaret, how you doing?
I'm in the middle. I'm Bellagio right now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I am really upset. I was listening to the show in the car on your local affiliate here, K-Don. And Frank is having drinks. We just came from Cirque du Soleil. It was absolutely stunning. I was having a beautiful night, and then I heard it singing. And I cannot believe that you would allow that to happen.
And can't believe what?
I am a former professional singer, and you've got the hunchback?
All right, now hold up.
Raven, you weren't around. We didn't know.
I'm not going to talk to him.
All right, Margaret, hold up. Do you want me to call you up and have you sing Plastic Jesus?
I knew Paul Newman. I knew Joanne Woodward. Frank did, too. And I turned the radio on, and I'm listening to it warbling away like a gelded cat. Oh!
Hey, how you doing, young man?
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Bill, I'm better than Custer.
Good.
I've got it, Frank. Go ahead. Go play your idiotic war. Do you know that they've got a war table here?
War?
Yes, war.
One card?
Yeah, they're betting war. Go play war, Frank.
Do you want to sing the song?
Yes, I'd like to sing the song, because there's a proper way of singing the song. Plastic Jesus... is a song born of Dust Bowl America. It was a song originally composed by itinerant American farm workers and ranch hands who were dealing with the very, very difficult Depression years, the travel, the terrible climate that the entire country was enduring, and they needed comfort. And Plastic Jesus was a song about having that little plastic Jesus on the dashboard of your car.
Yes.
And it goes something like this.
Why are you? No, it's something like...
Oh, God. Oh, I'm going to hurt someone.
Bud, shut up. You had your shot. Shut up.
Yeah, fade that.
Now, are you playing dice or you're going to sing?
I'm going to sing. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4... I don't care if rains or freeze, as long as I got my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. 2, 3, 4. Comes in colors pink and pleasant, glows in the dark. Now, here's the part, Phil, that needs to be professionally done. Excuse me. Here's the part that needs to be professionally done.
Okay.
Oh, comes in colors pink and pleasant, glows in the dark because it's iridescent. You see?
Do I see what?
What are you laughing at?
Ear, what is that?
Yeah, you talk about me. I think she's got rabies.
I sincerely hope you die of cancer.
Oh, man. Wow.
What'd she say?
That I die of cancer.
You have her sing that song.
Well, she wanted to sing it, man. She's right. She used to be a professional singer. Here's the part that you have to do professionally. Comes in colors pink and pleasant, glows in the dark because it's ee-wee-wee-wee. I don't know how you do that. Get yourself a sweet Madonna dressed in rhinestones sitting on a... Oh, yeah. There you go, bud.
All right, let's do it.
No, man. Don't have him do it again.
Come on.
Get yourself sweet Madonna dressed in rhinestone sitting on a pedestal of abalone shell. Oh, going 90.
Give me that. Thank you.
I'm just getting into it.
That's great. All right, we'll be back. Spider-Man the Musical has been reworked and relaunched and it still sucks. How about that? Plus, a couple's dream home was infested with thousands of snakes. And we'll see what they did about that. The Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com for merchandise, HDTV. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You would embarrass me like that.
For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And in our crosshairs in this segment is the story of Spider-Man. And if, Jace, you could send that story to me one more time. I don't know what happened to it. But the story of Spider-Man and this play, this musical in New York, is insane because they're God. You know, you got to give them points for just keeping on. You know, I mean, this is a show where they've almost killed people. And I remember one point when we talked about this. You know,
you thought they ought to have a what do you call that?
OSHA. Well, they did have OSHA.
Yeah, the occupational safety people.
Occupational Safety and Health Administration actually came out. And met with the producers because they were saying, what the hell are you doing out here? Well, you know it's a play. No, we don't know nothing. What do you mean, well, you know it's a play? You're almost killing people. They had people who were flying from the rafters, people falling hundreds of feet. I mean, it was nuts. So anyway, what's the latest? What are they doing now? Well, and I don't know if you know this or not, but Bono and The Edge... if you notice a little sarcasm there.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. Just something about a guy calling himself The Edge, like I was saying. Why don't you just call yourself the Circle? Hi, I'm The Circle. Oh, I'm The Edge.
Yeah, but he had that name a long time.
I know. Anyway, Broadway's most expensive and ridiculed musical, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, suffered another round of crushing reviews on Wednesday, a day after its long-delayed official opening drew celebrities such as former President Bill Clinton and actor Robert De Niro. How about that, huh?
Probably why it sucked, man. Everybody nervously because De Niro was in there.
Yeah, if you don't make Robert De Niro happy, he'll kick your ass.
Oh, get out of here, bud. He's an actor. He ain't the guy that he plays.
Well, what are you talking about? He'll beat your ass.
He's an actor. He's not some hard ass in real life. Anyway, the $70 million comic book adaptation featuring music by U2's Bono and The Edge was lambasted earlier this year while playing in a record-breaking 180 previews as its producers struggled to overhaul the production. Now, I don't know anything about theater to the extent of, you know, what's a preview. Do you know anything?
Uh-oh.
But I guess 180 previews is a lot. Is a preview...
It's preview.
Yeah, I know what a preview is, man, but is it like not... Is it like a test screening? Anyway, 180 previews. While the play would take years to turn a profit, tourists and other intrigued theatergoers could keep it on Broadway far longer than usual for productions with such withering notices. So in other words, there's a lot of curiosity factor about this play, this musical, because it sucks so bad, who wants to miss it?
That don't make no sense, man.
Well, it sort of does, because it's almost like Ed Wood's Plan 9 from Outer... There was another... Plan 9 from Outer Space, of course, is a classic bad movie, but it didn't take a lot of money to produce. There was one movie called Waterworld. Did you ever see Waterworld?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
I'll never forget when that movie was in production. That was back in the 90s. I'll never forget it. They were agog and aghast. They were flipping out. They were going ape. I mean, they were going Bakersfield chimp. Oh, my God! You know, what? It's $200 million! They were screaming and yelling, and, oh, it's $200 million, you know. And Dennis Hopper, who was in the film, gave an interview, said, you know, it's a lot of money, but we aren't wasting it. Every dime is going up on the screen. It's just a damn expensive movie. It was a film starring Kevin Costner and Dennis Hopper and others that featured a hero who lives out on the ocean. It's a time when the world is covered with water, almost completely covered with water. Everyone lives on a boat. Everyone lives on some kind of sea-going craft. And it's like Mad Max on the water.
Yeah, that's what I'll say.
Mad Max on the water. And Kevin Costner plays a kind of a man, a human who has begun to evolve. He has gills. I mean, as if evolution is this obvious, but... And he meets up with the big bad guys, which is Dennis Hopper and his group of guys. Well, I saw this, and I expected it to really suck, you know, because that's all I heard. Oh, it's $200 million, and they're delayed in the thing, and it wasn't bad.
Would you recommend going rent it?
Yeah, I'd rent it. If you guys wanted to go see a movie, like tonight, if there was a place open or if we can find it on Netflix, I'd watch it with you.
Well, what were they all worried about then?
Because it was really expensive. They were flipping their lids, that $200 million. And I don't know whether there's been a movie since that's cost that much money. And this was only in the 90s. It wasn't that long ago. But yeah, every day you read something about this movie and they were flipping their lids. So anyway, the Spider-Man thing is the same thing. It's cost so much money, and people have said that it sucks so bad that it has to be on Broadway for a long, 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 long time to even start making any money back. But maybe it has a chance because it sucks and blows so hard that people may want to come and see it.
That don't make no sense.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, let's listen now to this 42-second little piece. Reeve Carney and Jennifer Damiano, the two stars of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, performed If the World Should End live at last Sunday's Tony Awards.
Tomorrow, I'll have today again.
There's no time for sorrow when there's no such thing as time.
Are you gay?
Why did you get out of here? Don't play that. That was very lovely, didn't you think?
Yeah, it's all right, man, but I'd like to hear the whole thing.
Well, we only have 41 seconds of it, so there it is. Don't play Are You Gay after that.
I thought it was funny.
Well, I didn't. So there you go. Now, my understanding is that she called back. You know, you got a lot of nerve calling back after you said that I ought to have cancer, huh?
You know something, Phil? I hope you and your entire family die with blood in your mouth. Other than that, have a very pleasant and profitable evening.
What is that about?
She called back, said she wanted to say goodnight.
Say goodnight? She hopes me and mine die with blood in our mouth? All right, the Phil Henry Show here.
Mark?
You know, I don't want to talk to you.
Phil, I hope you die screaming.
Don't laugh, bud, because I'll kick your ass. Don't laugh, because you know I'll do it. Well, that concludes this evening's show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producer is Chris Johnson. It's been great having you guys joining us this very evening. Don't forget to come on out and see Phil in the next Judd Apatow film, the title of which I'm not going to tell you, and when it's going to be out, I'm not going to tell you. But I'm in the movie.
Yeah, sure.
I am, man. All right, visit our website, philhenryshow.com. For all of our live streaming video and, of course, our archives, just all kinds of stuff. Be a member of the family, philhenryshow.com. See you tonight.
The Phil Henry Show from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.